Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
Here I am, this young man. I'm 19, 18 years old, whatever it was, and I'm searching for, remember, the beginning of wisdom is the desire to learn. And I'm desiring, you know, what is all this? You know, I've been living like a fool. I want to know what my faith is and what God is. And I find out that there's this spirit of wisdom. And so I prayed. And as I prayed, didn't happen right away. And, you know, don't expect everything to happen right away. That's, remember what I talked about, determination, diligence, prudence. Sticking with it, persistence. Jesus taught about that with prayer, of course. Otherwise, you know, if you just prayed once or twice, everybody would be running around filled with the Holy Spirit and, you know, knowing God in a personal way. But what separates the, if you will, the men from the boys or the women from the girls is that people of diligence and determination and stick-to-itness, persistence, they're the ones who get touched because they don't give up. They have the desire. They have the fire. They have the passion for God. And they stay with it. And so that's what I'm praying for you, that you won't give up. You'll stick with it. And I found out the difference between the transitory nature, temporary, transient, and the enduring, lasting, true treasure. And I am so glad I found this out early. My whole life changed. I changed my major in college. Instead of money, I started going toward people. Then after college, I sensed a call from God to preach the good news, to reach out to people in many different ways, through writing, through producing, through preaching. And I realized that I had a basic choice to make between really living a selfish life or living a selfless life. And that's part of wisdom too, giving yourself to others. And that's how you find really true joy and true happiness. Oh, I've heard this before. You're probably thinking, you know, here's Father Cedric preaching against riches and preaching against wealth. No, I'm not saying that. I think, you know, if you're wealthy, wonderful. It shows me that God has blessed you, that you've lived with determination and diligence, you've made a success out of your life, you've worked hard. So enjoy it. But realize this, it's passing, it's fading. You can't take it with you, and you know that. So what you have to do is you have to grab a hold of what you can take with you. And the scriptures all over the place tell us that there is something that you can take with you. Remember, you know, talking about riches, what Jesus taught. Don't store up for yourselves, I love this, it comes from Matthew. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where the moth can consume, rust can corrode, and the thief can steal. Rather, he said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where no moth can consume, no rust can corrode, and no thief can steal. Now is your time to store up riches in heaven. Now is the time where you be putting money in the bank of heaven. How do you do that? By getting to know the Spirit of wisdom, by living according to His ways, by realizing that there's a huge difference between what's fading and what's eternal, and by sowing seeds into eternity, giving to people, being generous to people. Those are seeds that you're sowing for eternity. So again, I'm not against riches. Riches are good. Many of you support me. I need your help. Many of you are my partners. I need your finances so that I can preach the gospel to multitudes of people on TV, through books, through, you know, the different appearances that I have. And I thank you for your donations. And I thank you for your generous offerings to me. It shows wonderful generosity on your part. And that's part of the seeds that you're sowing for eternity. God sees that. That's part of wisdom, as I said, being generous. And you find joy in that. I think the greatest joy of my life, I know the greatest joy of my life, The meaning and the purpose that I have is by reaching out to people. I have to be honest with you and tell you that I've been on a couple of cruises, you know, as a chaplain, and, you know, all expenses paid, and, you know, you have all this food, and you go to all these beautiful destinations like the Caribbean and the Mexican Riviera. I've been to Alaska a couple times. You know, that was back in my younger days when I was a young priest. And it was opulent and extravagant and fun and everything. Well, they still offer me those cruises. And I don't have a desire to go on cruises. I mean, it's fun and everything. People pay big money to do that. Go ahead if you want to go. You know what I really want to do? I want to reach out to you. I want to reach out to people. My life is dedicated to helping people. That's my desire. That's where I find joy. In other words, what I'm saying is, you know, the world, I think, grasps, everybody wants to be happy, and they grasp for joy in things, and it does bring you momentary joy. But I like what endures. I like what lasts. I go after what doesn't fade. That's wisdom. And see, I'm trying to tell you that there's a great contrast between worldly riches and eternal riches. And I want you to make a basic choice that you're going to go for what lasts. See, I'm a businessman. I was taught early on in school about you know, growth and getting interest and making your money work for you. Well, I'd like to say, make your life work for you. Go after what endures. Jesus told many parables about money and about growth and about how the sons of the children of this world are sometimes more wise than the children of light in their dealings, because they use their money to prepare a future for them. And so how much more should we use our time now to get prepared for eternity? Remember what I said about wisdom. You do today what you're going to be happy with tomorrow. And I'm praying that you'll make a basic wisdom choice toward what endures. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't earn money, that you don't strive for success in life. No, no, no. Please do all that. But realize that that money that you make and the success that you have is only so that you can reach out to others. You're entrusted with that. That's not yours. You're entrusted with that to help other people. And that really is the meaning of life. That's wisdom, generosity, and reaching out. God has given you everything that you have, every breath, every penny, every ability. You're not a self-made person. You're a God-made person. That's part of prosperity. And so realize that and give back. And that's what my life is all about. That's wisdom. That's what the Holy Spirit has taught me. And I pray that you will understand that too. So I've already talked about two different things. I've talked about the ways of God, the ways of wisdom, are diligence, determination, discipline, prudence, fortitude, persistence. It's the opposite of foolishness. So that's the ways of God. And then I've talked about one of the other things that the Holy Spirit taught me, is that there's a real difference between the transient riches and the eternal riches. And, you know, that may sound so simple, and it is simple. Wisdom is not complex. It's not complicated. But you know what? So many people don't get it. It's like, ah, yeah, I know about all that. And then they live lives of foolishness. What's that all about? You know, make a basic, good, solid choice with your life. Make what's called, you know, a fundamental option. That's what it's called in Catholic moral theology. And that leads to a fundamental stance, which leads to a fundamental option of daily decisions. The fundamental stance is, you know what, I'm going to live a lifestyle of wisdom. I'm going to seek the eternal. And then every day you make fundamental options, fundamental choices that confirm your fundamental stance. That's Catholic theology, Catholic moral theology. So those are two things that the Spirit taught me. The third thing that I really want you to understand, as I said, wisdom is not just an attribute. It's not just a quality or a virtue. A living spirit, God himself, come into you. Remember what I said about wisdom. It's infused, it's a gift, and it's your choice. So it's an attribute and God himself. alive in you. Now, if you know any of my teaching on the Holy Spirit, and I love to teach about the Holy Spirit, my second book, Glorious Holy Spirit, I hope you'll pick it up. It'll change your life. If you know anything about my teaching, I always teach people the Spirit of God resides in you. You already have the Holy Spirit. You just need to come to know the Holy Spirit. You need to come to a rebirth, an awakening, a filling, if you will. And how do you do that? Desire, prayer. You plead, just like Solomon did. He received the Spirit, just like I did. Spirit changed my life. God is no respecter of persons. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that God doesn't respect people. He does. But he treats everybody the same. You know, why should he treat Solomon differently than he treats me or you? Because we're all his children. We're all created by him. So in other words, if Solomon prayed and received, if I prayed and received, you can pray and receive. You may have a different manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You may have a different experience of the Holy Spirit, but you can receive just like anybody else. Don't think you're secondary or second class or not good enough. In fact, oftentimes it's a person who really is steeped in foolishness, steeped in sin, steeped in waywardness, that all of a sudden can have a major conversion. Or maybe you haven't been living according to the ways of God. Well, I believe that the Spirit that lives within you will touch you and grace you and help you. So please understand, the reason why the Holy Spirit comes, this is the third thing, but it should be the first thing, to give you a personal relationship with God. Wow. Does that revolutionize a person's life? Does that change people? Did that change me? See, suddenly, because of the Spirit of wisdom, God's not out there somewhere. He's right inside. And I go like this, because it's your heart as well as your mind, your emotions as well as your thoughts. It's your spirit person. God indwells you. You're the temple of the Most High. And you begin to have what I call a personal relationship with God. Now, that word has been thrown around and everybody uses it. Do you have a personal relationship with God? You know, usually that means do you have God in your life in some way? I'm talking about an intimate, tangible, experiential, close relationship with God. You know God. You know what the word know in the Bible means? It's when a husband and wife come together. It's the sexual term. You can have experiences of grace, touches of glory, intimacy in prayer. Scripture comes alive. You have moments of peace. Not all the time, folks, of course. I don't want to romanticize this. There are dry times. There are hard times. But even during those times, you know that the Lord is with you because God doesn't abandon you. When he comes to you, he doesn't just leave you there because he's so in love with you. And that's it. I mean, we were made for love. We were made for this love relationship with God. I read a book one time called The Sacred Romance. God is into romancing us. And he knows what we crave and what we need in our hearts because he's the one who made our hearts in the first place. And I'm inviting you to participate in this sacred romance. You've been romancing everything else but God. God is the one who will draw you close to his heart. So primarily, more than anything else, you know, yes, wisdom is knowing the ways of God. Yes, wisdom is acting in beauty. Wisdom is determination and diligence. It's knowing the difference between the transient and the eternal. But more than anything else, wisdom is a relationship with the living God, the Spirit of wisdom, a personal relationship that Jesus gives you. You come to him. You pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You experience, hopefully, the grace of God. Now, I don't want to lead you astray and say that a relationship with God is all about feelings. It's not. However, I believe that you should have some way, shape, or form. It's different for different people. Some people speak in tongues. Some people feel heat, peace, light. There's all kinds of different manifestations of the Holy Spirit, all kinds of gifts from the Holy Spirit. But I believe more than all the gifts or anything else is that love relationship that you have with God that will turn your life upside down And you'll say to yourself, how could I have ever lived any other way? And I almost missed it. That's what I say to myself. I almost missed it. I was so, you know, caught up in the world and things and money and success and everything else. I almost missed it. And you know what? A lot of people almost miss it. So folks, go after the Spirit who will touch you, what endures. See, there's wisdom in the Spirit. Jesus taught about, you know, there's this man walking in a field and he finds a treasure. You know, sometimes I'll have dreams in the middle of the night, you know, and I'm walking and all this gold is laying there on the ground and I dig and there's all this money and it's just like, whoa, I'm rich. Or Jesus said, it's like a treasure in the field which a man finds or a woman finds and goes and he sells everything that he has and he buys the field. That's a parable talking about how you got to give your all for what is really true. And then it's like a person who is in search of fine pearls. You know, people that love to shop for jewelry and diamonds and different things. Well, imagine being searching for fine pearls and then one day you find it. It's the pearl of great value, the one pearl you've always searched for. So you know what you do? You go off and you sell all the little pearls of your life and you get that pearl. That's what Jesus taught about eternal riches. And of course, he was alluding to God. You know, we're all searching for pearls. We're all searching for the treasure. We're all searching for riches. And he's saying, don't be the type that, you know, you have one foot in, one foot out. Search for, you know, sell everything, give everything to get what really lasts, what really matters. And of course, that's the Spirit of God. So the third thing I want to really impress upon you about the Holy Spirit, not thing, reality, is that the Holy Spirit comes to give us what we all desire, a personal relationship with God. You cannot buy that. You can never earn it. No one deserves it. But God gives it through grace. And as I said, he's no respecter of people. What he's done for millions and millions of people before us, today, billions, he'll do for you. But you have to do it the right way. Pray for grace, make good decisions, live according to wisdom, realize the difference between the fading and the eternal. You watch what God will do for you. And then I want to continue and tell you that life really, as we journey on in the Holy Spirit and wisdom, is about what I call ongoing conversion. Let me explain this to you. During our church seasons, we have Lent, for example, Advent. These are a couple of the seasons in the church, even Ordinary Time and Easter. They're dedicated really toward our growth as Christians, toward our what's called our ongoing conversion. Some of you have had a dramatic conversion. Others of you haven't. Others of you just kind of gradual, and that's fine. Everybody's different. But some of you haven't been converted at all. And what it simply is this. When I talk about conversion, it's two things. An intensification, and I like that word, underline it. An intensification, in other words, it's more than what you already have, of your relationship with God. That's conversion. So conversion has to do with your relationship with the living God. You intensify it. It gets deeper. There's more. There can be powerful experiences with God, wonderful intimacy with God. And then the second part of ongoing conversion is personal change. You change as a person, from a person making bad choices to good choices, to a person of foolishness to a person of wisdom, person of vice to a person of virtue. And you can change, a person separated from God to a person who loves God. And life is about change, folks. It's about movement. It's about growth. It's about going forward. You've heard my preaching before, many of you, about my book, You Can Change, A Retreat with Father Cedric. I'm always talking about progression, movement forward, changing, growing, conversion. So what I wanted to tell you now, as I set it all up here, the Holy Spirit comes, underline the word. You know, I'm on my computer, we have this place where you can underline the word, bold it, underline the word holy. That's not a bad word. It's a word that means it's the Holy Spirit. It's a word that means you are separated from evil. You are set apart for God. And you are blessed by the presence of God, virtuous. You become holy. You become like God. And in the scriptures, God says, be holy, for I am holy. Don't think of it as a weird thing, like a person just praying all the time, you know, stuck in the mud. Think of it as a person who's tender, gentle, gracious, kind, reaching out to people, joyful, full of blessing. That's holiness. But you avoid sin. You avoid vice. That's part of holiness too. Now, the fourth major reality that I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. Remember what the first one was? I talked about the Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. The second reality I talked about, there's a difference between the transient and the eternal. The third reality that the Holy Spirit brings is a personal relationship with God. And the fourth reality about the Holy Spirit, and there are many more, is that the Spirit comes to what's called sanctify us, or to make us holy, to change us. Because, you know, when we come into life, we're selfish, we're prideful, we're controlling, we've got all these fleshly desires, and God comes to love us, but also to prepare us for eternity. And we have to become like God is in order to go to heaven, in order to experience eternity. Of course, we're saved by the blood of Jesus, we're saved by the cross, but then we have to be sanctified and prepared. Jesus said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit to prepare you for heaven. And the Spirit comes to prepare us to go to heaven. So let me talk about that really quickly. Personal change. You know, after you fall in love with God and you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit comes to change us. And, you know, our motivations change. Our desires change. You know, we want to please God and do God's will. You know, I heard this story one time. Your want to change. This guy had a friend, and he came up to him and he said, John, he says, since you came to God, you never go to bars, you never womanize anymore, you never smoke anymore, you're totally different. He says, you're no fun anymore. And the guy said to him, he says, look, I got to tell you something. I go to bars as much as I want to, I womanize as much as I want to, and I smoke as much as I want to. But the Spirit of God took the want to out of me. And so what I'm simply saying is that when you fall in love with God, your desires change in the best sense. And it's amazing how God changes us and works through our motivations and our desires. But also we're changed through life and through our life experiences. For example, I was in what's called the Golden Triangle. That's in Eastern Texas. We're in Houston right now. We're filming this in our chapel in Houston. Well, I was in the Golden Triangle preaching. That's Groves, Nederland, and Port Arthur, the three cities, the three towns called the Golden Triangle. Years ago, they discovered oil in that region. They have all these refineries there. And I was preaching at a church there called St. Peter's in Groves. And as I'm walking in the parking lot, I'm looking out. They have these big, huge refineries. And the refineries, you know, they have the fire going up and the stinky air. What they do is they take crude oil and they refine it and they make it so that you can use it. In the same way, you have to understand this. God takes our crudeness and our rudeness and he refines us so that he can use us. You know how a wild horse is tamed so that someone can ride it? They're broken. You have to break a horse in order to ride it. In the same way, sometimes we got to go through the fire. Sometimes we got to be broken. The experiences of life. God doesn't give us the suffering, but he uses it to sanctify us, to purify us. I got so many examples. I don't have a whole lot of time, but let me just tell you that a friend of my mother's, 90 years old, used to living by herself, never married, independent. She had to go to a nursing home. Devastated her. Because, you know, she's used to being on her own and doing her own thing. Well, these are one of the ways that God uses life experiences to purify us and to sanctify us. And there's so many people that are suffering. You're going through sufferings physically and bodily, mentally. God isn't giving you those things, but he'll use it to purify us from being controlling, being in charge all the time, being selfish, you know, being prideful, being, you know, sinful. And he'll use the sufferings in our life to purify us. So I want you to look at that. The Spirit of God comes to help you to face your suffering, and he uses it to purify us. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom. And I want you to know God's ways, to walk in diligence, to walk in determination, to be a person of discipline. And then the Spirit comes to teach us the difference between what is fading and what endures. And that's wisdom too. The Spirit of God comes primarily to give us a personal relationship with God. Hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit comes to sanctify us, to purify us. And I pray, my goal is that you will desire and seek the Spirit in your life in a deeper way. And as you pray, as you desire, as you thirst, may you be filled with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name and live a life that is prosperous, abundant, and full of passion. Don't just live. Live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.